Continuing the series on Sunday evenings, in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, where it says, six things the Lord hates, and yea, seven are an abomination. We try to take each one in turn. We're on number 6 already. So the last of the ones we've looked at already, first one was a proud look. Next one was a lying tongue. The third one was hands that shed innocent blood. Number 4 was a heart that devises wicked imaginations. And last Sunday night, the feet that are swift in running to mischief or evil. So this one is a false witness who speaks lies. I looked at this one, and I thought, well, we just looked at number 2 with a lying tongue, and be a lot of similarities. Perhaps we should have focused just on a false witness who speaks lies. But then I thought again, I said, well, why don't I just list some phrases or words the Bible uses that are close or synonymous with just sins of the tongue, or things that we say that can get us into trouble. So Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. You know, I've been in enough trouble in my life. I just know that I don't like to be in trouble. It's not always my fault, but it's my fault, you know. When we think about trouble, think about some word like agitation or disturbance, distress, something that's disturbing, unsettling, if you're in trouble, upsetting. Someone that's like being in a situation where you feel you're not protected, or just an uncomfortable feeling in trouble. So from our text, you know, our tongue causes a lot of our troubles, not only with others, but with God. You know, I've been told, you probably have too, but I've been told, watch your mouth, bite your tongue, zip your lip, think before you speak. That was just yesterday. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, it says, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. So Solomon is saying from that verse, he says, you know, it's destructive to have no bounds or no restraint, or to have no guard or no governor on your lips. So we need to know when to speak our mind and when to mind our speak. Again, that children's song just seems to come into play in each of these phrases that Solomon lists that the God hates. You'll be careful. Little eyes, ears, lips, your hands, your feet. All of those things. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So watch your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. So this lesson, I'm just looking at some ways in which the tongue causes trouble. I could have read it. I can't cover everything. You know, James chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, talks about the untamed tongue could be added to our list. And even in our list, there's some things that I don't even mention about the tongue. I don't mention taking an oath. I don't mention boasting or false teachers or blasphemy. So the list could be added too. But we'll just take a look at these really rather briefly. Number 1, taking God's name in vain. One of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. In vain. Wow. It means an irreverent mention of God. It means an empty or worthless use of the word God. In other words, it's vain, empty, worthless. without sense. You know, so when God's name is taken in vain, which when it's used flippantly in everyday speech. You know, now with our text and things like that, you see that OMG. That's kind of popular. Oh my God. Popular exclamation. Hear it a lot on many television programs now. Oh my God. God, maybe it's, I'm not sure of maybe the seriousness of it, but I just think it, there's a word of caution needs to be said. You know, my parents wouldn't let me use these interjections or euphemisms for God. You know, I'd probably be in trouble if I just said golly. Gee whiz. Gosh darn. Egad. You know, you just can't say it. My parents wouldn't say those kinds of words. So in the Exodus 20, that last phrase, the Lord will not hold him guiltless. In Psalm 111, verse 9, it says, holy and reverent is his name. Meaning God. Holy, reverent, you know, I'm worthy of praise. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, verse 9, you know, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, reverent, reverence. So perhaps we'll be speech of the tongue, the troubles of tongue is when we take God's name in vain. Number two, obviously, is cursing, profanity. James 3, verse 10 says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things should not happen or should not be. You ever know somebody that kind of maybe might be on your job or in your recreation that kind of speaks both ways? They may speak about their morality or God-centeredness, and then the next phrase comes out with profanity or cursing. You wonder, whoa, where'd that come from? Leviticus 24, verse 13 says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that has cursed outside the camp. Let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Saw this in a church bulletin many, many years ago. I clipped it and saved it. But George Washington wrote in his orderly book, August 3rd, 1776. Says, I'm sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane swearing, a vice heretofore little known in the American army, is growing into fashion. I hope that the officers will, by example and influence, endeavor to check it. That both they and the men will reflect that we have but little hope of the blessing of heaven on our arms if we insult him, meaning God, by our impiety and folly. Added to this, it's a vice so mean and low that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. Cursing and profanity. Number three is flattery. By the way, thank you for the kind words you gave me this morning. Flattery, Psalm 12, verse 2. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. Oh. And the tongue that speaks proud things, though, the flattering lips. I remember the story for God, his wife's birthday. Oh. So he said, honey, I'm sorry, but how do you expect me to remember it when you never look a day older?
That is right.
Man, get your pens out. You want to write that down. Yeah. Honey, how do you expect me to remember your birthday when you never look a day older? Yeah. It's good to compliment, but flattery gets us into trouble. Flattery, by definition, is really an insincere praise to gain favor for yourself. It's false praise when you flatter. Proverbs 26, verse 28, a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 29, verse 5, a man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. That's not a solid foundation. The man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. You know, the flatterer, in other words, gets caught in the very net that he set for someone else. And in Proverbs 28, verse 10, says, "Whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit." Ah, we catch ourselves. Flattering word. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 through 5, "I didn't come to you with flattering words." Number four is evil speaking. Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Almost an attitude goes in with it. You'll speak evil speaking because of malice in your heart. Evil, obviously, we understand by definition, morally bad, it's wrong. If it's evil speaking, it's wicked, devilish. Putting a bad rap on another's good deed. Something that's just wrong. Evil speaking. James 4, verse 11 makes it very specific. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Wow. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, and evil speaking. Boy, the associates' words that go along with evil speaking. Number five, lying. We recognize that one, or deceit. Again, Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Well, that's our title, the thing that the Lord hates, false witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and foolish. If you have deceit, you make someone else believe something that's not true. Deceive. It's something dishonest. Fraud would be a word. Or just something false. Remember in a court of law, you were asked to tell the truth, but it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So we add to it, something may be true. It might be a half truth, but we want the whole truth. And then nothing but the truth. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." Wow, abomination. Well, that's our text again. These things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination. Lying lips. Number six, talebearing and gossip. Leviticus 19, verse 16, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people." Don't do it. You kind of wonder, what's wrong about telling a good tale? Bearing a tale. I have something to share. I have a story about somebody else. What's wrong with that? Well, here's some problems. Proverbs 26, verse 20. "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out." So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Three weeks from today, we'll catch the last one. "He who sows discord among the brethren." Oh. That last one, that goes along with many of these things here. Sowing discord. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Next week, we'll be out of town. And the week after that is our first Sunday devotion potluck. So it'll be 3 weeks from tonight. We'll catch the last one. In Proverbs 11, verse 13, "A talebearer reveals secrets to secret." Proverbs 16, verse 27, "An ungodly man digs up evil. His lips are as a burning fire." Well, that's not good. That's destructive. Proverbs 17, verse 9, "He that covers the transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates friends." Proverbs 18, verse 8, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Wow. That's the King James translation. The New King James translation says, "The words of a talebearer are tasty trifles." that go down into the body. So one of them says they are wounds, but they're tasty trifles. Well, they get you and upset your stomach. Here's some of the thoughts on rumors. Somebody said, there's nothing as effective as a bunch of facts to spoil a good rumor. We've heard that one. Somebody else said, there's a new margarine on the market named Rumor because it spreads easily. Someone else said, it's easier to float a rumor than to sink one. Float it instead of sink. When he knows, a lot of people seem to have rheumatism. How can rumors without a leg to stand on get around so fast? Have a leg to stand on before they travel. Number seven is just harsh and harsh criticism and reviling. If you revile something, reviling is abusive language. It means it's a language that injures or harms with our words. If you revile somebody, it's insulting or you defame them. Revile. And so in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12, Paul said, being reviled, yeah, he was reviled, but he said, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. In other words, try to reconcile. So certain things come our way, but we don't want to retaliate necessarily in kind. Or be like the ones that are agitating us. That's hard to do. We want to, you know, if you shout at me, I want to shout back at you. If you speak to me in a whisper, then I'll whisper back. Harsh criticism, reviling. 1 Peter 2, verse 22, referring to Jesus, did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Wow. Number eight is whispering. Compared to a snake bite in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 11. Whispering. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment or encouragement. And a babbler's no better, the whisperer. Verse 13, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness, the whispering. Number 9 is backbiting. Psalm 15, beginning of verse 1, Lord, who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? That's the question. Who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And here's the answer. He that walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart, he that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. So backbiting. Think about backbiting. It's not the one who bites back, but it's the one who bites behind the back. In other words, to play the spy. The backbiter is the one that's clandestine, as we say. The backbiter is the one that says a mean or spiteful thing about another in their absence. Well, don't be a backbiter. Galatians 5, verse 15 says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Wow. So don't bite and devour each other. Number 10 is idle words. Matthew 12, verse 36, we're familiar. Jesus said, I say to you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And we always wonder, what are idle words? Paul partly defines this, at least it gives us an example, when he writes to Timothy. See, idle words are those words that's concerning our faith. They stir up speculation. Idle words in the context are words that would produce an argument. Idle words are those that do not edify our faith. Here's how Paul described it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. In verse 6, he says, from which some, having served, have turned aside to vain jangling, in other words, empty talk, talk that's fruitless, purposeless, empty reasoning, especially concerning faith. Those are idle words. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. What's the idle words versus wholesome words? And then the verse continues. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So if a man doesn't consent to that, Paul says he's proud, he knows nothing, but he dotes about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. About idle words, not just our casual conversation. The context, the idle words that condemn us. Not just, how do you think of the weather today? No, it's not idle words. Idle words are the ones that have to do with our faith, that tear us away, that take us down the wrong pathway. That's right there, fables, the endless genealogies, things that minister questions, that cause us to kind of, I never thought about that. Maybe Christianity's not so real. Oh, that's an idol. Somebody just gave you an idle word that caused you to doubt faith and doctrine, sound doctrine. That's idle words. Sometimes people think, we just can't jest or be humorous. That's not, those aren't idle words. So you have filthiness and foolish talking. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 3, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Here's the list. Neither filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather give thanks. So we want to have a manner of speech that becomes us. There's a manner of speech that is characterized as not convenient, or in other words, is not thankful for God's love toward us. So unbecoming speech is speech that's shameless or filthy or indecent or foul or coarse or dirty, suggestive, out of place. He said, I want you to speak things that befit, things that are beneath us. Don't do that. That's so Paul's encouraging us, knowing that these are possibilities. We're challenged by our speech. We use it so often. So he said, be careful. Like the song says, be careful, little lips, what you say. The Father up above, looking down in tender love, so be careful, little lips, what you say. So there's still others that this list will hopefully give us a start. I may have not done with the actual phrase, false witness that speaks lies, but just want to deal with a list of sins of the tongue. It's just interesting when you look at the things that God hates. Everything has to do with us. A look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, and a false witness who's, again, a lying tongue, speaks lies. So, boy, you look at the list of things that God hates, boy, it's part of our nature, our character. Our part of our essence, the way that we conduct ourselves. So the admonition is, be careful. Be careful. So we need to have the exhortation and the admonition every so often. Don't forget, this is the expectation or this is the goal. Because we're so easily taken down the wrong way. All right, so that's the lesson for this evening. And then in 3 weeks, we'll talk about the last one. So it's discord among the brethren. Wow. All right. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. This is one that's not a member of the New Testament church this evening. That's your desire to obey the gospel plan. You simply need to let that request be known. We sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, exhortation. So that's what we're about to do. If you need to respond in a public way, if that's your desire this evening, please come as we stand and sing this song.